Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here with Ken McCusick, and we're going to talk about that one great play.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. I'm still going to do the entry to the show.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to do that. I apologize.
No, no problem. Over then. You're going to lead us into the other stuff.
Okay. I apologize. I misunderstood.
Count it down, Josh. Here we go. Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our series of That One Play. Got a great one for you tonight, and one you probably will not remember if you're a younger football fan. The 1999 Stoney Case to Justin Armour game-winning touchdown pass in overtime to beat the Falcons in Atlanta. It was a point in Ravens history, and I definitely had a lot of interesting side notes that I think make this a great choice for one of these episodes. Hope other people will take it as kind of a cue to pick their own favorite play. Here to talk about it with me is Jamie Seek. Jamie, how you doing?
Doing well, Ken. How are you doing?
I got no complaints. So, Jamie, you picked this, and I'm sure you had your reasons for it. We've talked a little bit about it, but kind of lead us into where the Ravens are in 1999 at the time of this game.
Well, it was, we had gotten through the first three seasons, kind of the honeymoon phase, I guess you could say, of football returning to Baltimore. No one, of course, you wanted the team to win, but I think we were excited to be in NFL City again. And it was interesting, too, because I think we were all learning how to be football fans, because it's a different experience, I think, you know, things like being quiet when the team's on offense. You know, these are things that when you don't have an NFL team, you don't know about. And of course, this was Brian Billick's first year as head coach after his record-setting year as offensive coordinator in Minnesota. And thankfully, their heartbreak in the NFC Championship allowed us to hire Coach Billick, because if they would have went to the Super Bowl, the Vikings, who knows how things would have worked out. But so I think the city, the fan base was excited because here we have this coach coming in who's this offensive genius. If you remember, he had that playbook with however many thousand plays in it, mm-hmm. CompuCoach and all those things. So we were all very excited to see what this new chapter in the brief history to that point of the Ravens, but we were excited as a fan base.
Yeah, very much so. And one of the things I remember coming into 99 is a couple of things. First of all, they'd been on a quarterback carousel a little bit because they never really committed entirely to Testaverde, even though he'd been a Pro Bowl quarterback in the Ravens' very first season. Then they moved on after trying Eric Zeier at the position in 97. They moved on to Jim Harbaugh in 1998. That was another disaster, not an unmitigated disaster, but it was a bad season, another bad one. And one that they really want to get by it. And they had the answer, of course, in 1999 in Scott Mitchell, the guy, the left-handed quarterback who as once was rated 10th all time among left-handed quarterbacks, where number 9 was all other left-handed quarterbacks. So I remember Rich Eisen's reaction to that was, oh, I get it. Funny, funny. You know, he's worse than every other one. So, but it was an interesting pickup for the Ravens. And obviously they were trying again to find their guy at QB.
Yeah. And the quarterback carousel has, always been a thing here. We don't want to talk about current history because we know there's a certain quarterback situation going on now, but there was this hope that Scott Mitchell, I think, was a veteran who had moderate success in Detroit. And there was a thought that, you know, maybe Brian Billick is, you know, he's had success with veteran quarterbacks in Minnesota with Randall Cunningham, you know, kind of in the back end of his career. So, you know, maybe there was going to be something there, but Scott Mitchell's tenure in Baltimore was very short. And we all probably famously remember that Coach Billick had referred to Scott Mitchell as a water buffalo. So you can imagine that he, let's just say he was not very mobile.
Yes.
We'll just go with that.
Yeah. Mitchell, in fact, might even be better known to some fans as the guy who replaced Akili Smith in the 37-0 shutout in Baltimore after Akili Smith went down like a lump of, you know what?
Yeah, right. And the Cincinnati Defenders famously on the defensive coordinator on the sideline said, "Who had Burnett?"
The offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator?
Well, oh, I'm sorry. It was the, yeah, I apologize. The yeah, it might have been the O-line coach. And you could see all the offensive linemen just kind of turn and look at each other. To say I didn't have him. Yeah. And funny enough, and that just points really quickly to the 30 for 30 that just happened. And you see some of those hits that those Ravens defense has put on guys, and I can't imagine the amount of laundry that would end up on the field if those kind of hits were occurring in 2020.
Yeah, great show. We've had a separate episode about it, so I don't want to rehash it a lot. Sure, but I was a little bit lost in the timeline of the show with them having the footage they had. It was 2000 game film footage from NFL films and stuff, and then they had 2001 the training camp stuff they did, the Hard Knocks, right? And you kind of lose the time frame on when things were said and when are relative to each other. So it's a lot of that is like lost of it. I got nice testimonial for the Goose and whatnot. I appreciate that, but anyway, getting back to this game and the situation, the Ravens lost their first two games, and I don't know about you, but I watched them lose that first game of the Rams 27-10. And think, oh my God, I thought this team was going to be good. This Rams team, they suck. They got a grocery bagger at quarterback in this Kurt Warner guy. And,
you know, hindsight being 2020, that loss didn't seem quite so bad.
No, not too bad at this point. So, and the 99 team would come on and eventually put together the find their quarterback, which is funny, in the second half, and eventually win four straight games against some really impressive wins against some great competition and some not so great competition, but all very impressive wins during that streak.
And a lot of people might not remember this, but the Ravens had it was an outside chance, but they had a chance to make the playoffs with a win in week 17 and a lot of help, but they were still technically in the hunt. But that ended quickly on a rough day in New England. As the Ravens have had a lot of those in the regular season. Yeah, Foxborough.
Yeah, they actually, I think they were out actually before they had finished the loss to New England. I think that Oakland or somebody won a game.
Yeah, and got but in. At least starting the day, you know, and considering where the franchise had been up to that point, that was, you know, as my father used to say, they were walking in tall cotton at that point. But, you know, it ended with a thud.
let's start this story at the beginning, though, because Scott Mitchell then is out, and in week two, he's replaced by Stoney Case, who'd been a big preseason hero for the Ravens that year. A lot of that is not remembered, but Stoney Case led two last-minute comebacks in the preseason to keep the Ravens, you know, I think they're 4-0 in the preseason that year. But one of the plays, I believe it was the last play of the game, maybe against the Giants, they won that game on a play of Stoney Case. Might have involved Brandon Stokely too at the end of that game, but anyway, it was Stoney Case.
Yeah. And, go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry. Apologize.
Anyway, the point being that there was a real thought. Stoney Case was a guy who you know had come from a history of winning. He started out in Odessa, Texas, and he actually was a junior when Friday Night Lights, the season that Friday Night Lights is based on, was occurring. And I believe at the end of that movie, they talk about how the very next year that team went on to win the Texas state title with the running back, you know, playing a large role. And I believe that was actually Stoney Case's senior year.
Oh,
so interesting. Anyway, he'd been a successful high school winner, and he went on to college and he had played elsewhere before he got to the Ravens. He was in Arizona for 3 years. Didn't really play much, but had five starts during that period. I'm sorry, one start over 2 years and five games in that period. Then came to Baltimore at the beginning of 99, and he was in position to take Mitchell's job going into this week 3 game. In fact, he'd taken over in week two, coming in relief.
Yeah, I was just my little Stoney case memory. I was at the Cleveland game week 3, and one of the things I very specifically remember over I was sitting on the in the lower level, kind of close to the 50-yard line, over in the opposite corner of the stadium. A couple of fans had a giant banner that said, "The Stone Age has begun." And I could just, for some reason, I can close my eyes and see that. And if you remember that day when you talk about the mobility or lack thereof with Scott Mitchell, that was the thing with Stoney Case, was he had he could flash some skills as far as being a little bit more elusive in the pocket. And that day against Cleveland, he had two rushing touchdowns.
Two rushing touchdowns and three interceptions, which
Yes.
not not certainly not a great game.
No.
But the Ravens won it 17-10 despite those three interceptions. And honestly, that was kind of a comeback moment to them. And they got into this Atlanta game in week 4 at 1-2, looking to square their record, looking to get the season really turned around at this point. Certainly had a chance against a team that had just been to the Super Bowl the previous year. A lot of people don't remember this, but the Falcons, before this season, had traded their first round pick for the Ravens' second round pick in 1999. And that pick ended up being the fifth overall pick, and it was used on Jamal Lewis. So the
That's
Ravens
right.
could have done themselves a big favor by winning this game against Atlanta and improving that pick even more. But incredible, it didn't look like the pick was going to be worth anything. Fans have a, to say the least, non-affinity for any kind of deferred gratification. Let's put it that way. I think fans have such trouble waiting for something. I think season ticket holders have far more patience for this kind of thing. Frankly, I think that's a very clear dividing line that I've seen. But I do think that that was a case where it was just ridiculous. The Ravens would not trade a two for a one in that particular case, and it really, really paid off for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and that's even worse now. We live in an instant gratification kind of society, if you think about it. So, it's interesting when you think about these games. And again, I the earlier point about, trying to learn how to be a football fan, not as growing up as somebody who I don't really remember the Baltimore Colts. Like, I have very faint memories of them being there. So I always watch the NFL kind of on the periphery. Like, once the Ravens came to town, I was all in. But it's still like to think about what I knew about the game then and what I know about the game now, it's kind of amazing. And looking back at this play and thinking about how something like this, how it happened so quickly and the game just ends like that. And it's really, and now in today's game, we don't play sudden death anymore. So even, with some of the rule tweaks and changes. So it's, I don't know, it's fascinating to look back 24 years ago and think where you were and, what happened on that play.
Yeah, this is an extraordinary kind of a game in so many ways. But this game at Atlanta, it was, I'll just start with, by far and by a wide margin, the best game of Stoney Case's career. So he and that said, he averaged 5.1 yards per attempt on the game. So he was sacked 5 times for 29 yards, went 13 of 27, which doesn't sound good in its own right, but he had 2 touchdowns and no interceptions in this game. Big turnaround from Cleveland. Lots of hope for the season. 96.5 rating in the game. And
hey guys, I want to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock, because when I'm not podcasting, I am. My day job is a smart home specialist, and the Eufy Video Smart Lock is perfect. This is what you guys need to go get. It replaces the deadbolt on your door. So now you can come home without fumbling with keys. You can just type in a code. Or even better, use your fingerprint to unlock after 1 second. You put your finger there, pops out, my door's open. It's perfect. It also is an integrated video doorbell. We've all seen the video doorbells. We all know the ones that are out there. I've seen many of them get stolen. No one's going to steal this because it's your door lock. It's impossible for them to steal. There's no monthly fee. Other ones do. But this one, it'll record locally, so you never have to pay if you don't want to. The battery, it lasts up to 4 months. Plus, it notifies you ahead of time. And I mentioned earlier, 1 second fingerprint recognition. No, I meant 1 second till it opens. The AI self-learning chip will learn your fingerprint even faster, and then it opens up. Completely keyless entry, no more keys. And I know I set this up as I'm a smart home specialist, but anyone can install this. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. And then you're done. Guys, I love this product. Make sure you check it out. Now, here's the easiest thing to do. Just go on to Google or whatever you prefer and search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door, just like me, just like Ken.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know, at that time, a 96.5 rating was really high. It wasn't just, you know, oh, that's okay. That's pretty good for the game. It's that was high. So it was a nice finish. The Ravens got that game to overtime. You want to talk a little bit about the game itself and what how that game got to overtime?
Well, it's just what's interesting, just looking at the game as a whole and the evolution of the game and talking about, you know, 20 some years ago. And you look at the stat line and you see Eric Rett got 27 carries for 136 yards. And other than that, Stoney Case carried the ball five times. Fullback Chuck Evans carried it once and Jermaine Lewis carried it once. The idea of a bell cow back was such a thing in that era, you know, which a big reason why, as you alluded to earlier, that draft pick that we got from Atlanta, that we end up using the following draft on Jamal Lewis because we wanted to really have that guy. You know, of course, the Titans we know had Eddie George, and you could look around the league and there were other teams that were employing that. Again, it's just a it's a time warp feeling to look at what the game looks like now and what it looked like then. That's just something that jumped out at me when I was looking back at this, because you forget about that because you're so used to committee and or guys splitting carries or the game being more pass heavy now than it was then. You know.
Well, this in terms of the flow of the game, definitely true in terms of all the bell cow backs comments. And there was even some of that left in 2000, but Priest Holmes was still getting a reasonable number of carries that year. In this game, the Ravens actually trailed 13-3 late in the third quarter, but they came back. One of Patrick Johnson's really only contributions to Ravens history. The other big one he made was the catch at Tennessee for the first loss at Adelphia, but threw a 52-yard pass to Patrick Johnson to bring him within three, to make it 13-10, actually, you know, with the extra point. There's some offsetting penalties on that play, which led to a disqualification of a defensive back that might have played a role in the remainder of this game. And then an immediate drive following, they fumbled the ball. Rob Burnett knocks it loose. and Kim Herring recovers at the 35. The Ravens drive, I don't know, not too many yards, and then kick a field goal as they face fourth and eight to get it tied fairly early in the fourth quarter. Nice back and forth defense through the rest of that fourth quarter, even though there were some definitely some opportunities on both sides, which led them to an overtime session. And you want to talk just a little bit about what happened in the overtime session?
Well, I mean, well, real quickly before we get to the overtime session, just something else to consider when, again, you're talking about the evolution of the game. Atlanta had the ball at the Ravens' 36-yard line and punted.
Yep.
When they, you know, in the fourth quarter, like that to me, even though the down and distance wasn't, you know, ideal, like it's
fourth and 15.
I mean, again, not ideal, but can you imagine punting from the opponent's 36-yard line? And, you know, but again, different time, you know, different situation. And then, of course, you know, Ravens get the ball back, but just, you know, aren't really able to do anything, just kind of running up the middle in an effort to get to overtime. And interestingly,
I just gotta say we would have traded. Morton Anderson was the kicker for the Falcons that year, and he was notoriously did not have that kind of length ability at that point. I think Morton Anderson was still the kicker for Tennessee in 2003, who kicked the game winning field goal. We'd have really taken a miss there in exchange for a loss in this game, doubt about it. But
it was Gary Anderson in 2003.
Gary Anderson, okay,
yeah.
But either way, too long for Morton as well, and. Right. I certainly don't think the punt was that terrible of an idea on fourth and 15, but
I mean, given the game situation, yeah, it's just funny to coaches are so much more aggressive now. And I guess it has a lot to do with analytics and things like that, and probabilities. I mean, I guess with a minute to go in the game, it makes sense. But it's just a little startling to see. And again, you think of guys with great leg, you know, with stronger legs and kicking indoors, you think, well, 53, 54 yards, that's probably pretty makeable. But, you know, the decision got into overtime ultimately. Yeah. And Atlanta got the ball first, too, in overtime.
Atlanta got the ball first. They were three and out on that drive. So nice plays. Chris McAllister playing his first year, wasn't even getting full-time play for the entire season. By week four, he's still fighting Deron Jenkins for playing time. Dwayne Starks is still fighting Deron Jenkins for playing time.
Which is remarkable.
It is.
Deron third and long Jenkins. Yes. Yeah. Responsible for a lot of those 49 to 42 games that we lost in the Vinny Testaverde era.
Really, it really was Deron Jenkins certainly is his reputation definitely declined during his time in Baltimore, unlike some other defensive backs. But Starks and McAllister, despite both being the 10th overall pick, had a hard time getting playing time right away from that guy. And in any case, they on this particular drive, the plays were made. Atlanta had a punt from their own 23, and the Ravens were in business at their own 36. The 12-yard play to Ishmael, and then take us through the play itself.
Well, it was right around midfield, a little bit on the Ravens side of the field. It just, you know. Case dropped back from about the 40. He just cut loose, and you could see Armour kind of split the middle of the defense, just ran past everyone, and it was just a perfect throw. Armour brings it in around the right just inside the 5-yard line, stumbles in for the touchdown, and game over. And it was one of those moments I can remember. I was at my parents' house. My dad and I were watching the game. And on this, and it's funny to think about, again, football then versus, you know, now versus then. It was a 21-inch TV in the living room. We're kind of sitting there, and it was that moment where it's like, oh, yeah. You know, those. It was just this excitement, because to that point, there hadn't really been a lot of excitement as a Ravens fan. You know, there was the initial, you know, just, hey, we have a team back. And there was the comeback in 1998 that Harbaugh had against the Colts.
The Rams in 96.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and what we famously had the tie in overtime against the Eagles in 97. So there weren't a lot of really big moments yet like this. This was like the first really big moment. And again, and then at that moment, hey, records even at 2-2. You know, we're back to 500. Let's see what we can do. So it was... You thought it was going to be this momentum build, because you add to that, hey, like as you said, Ken, Stoney Case had his best game as a Raven at that to that point, coming off the game where he the game before where he struggled, but he ran the ball well. It's like, hey, maybe we've got something, this guy. Oh, look at this wide receiver that we found. Oh, you know, we've got Brandon Stokley, who we just drafted. Oh, we got these young defensive players. This is very exciting. You know, little did we know it was going to take a little bit longer, and we didn't have our quarterback yet, but that moment seemed to be pretty big because it was just a big win and kind of a signature win for a franchise that really hadn't had one yet.
It would have been great to have Twitter around at the time to go and review some of the commentary that had been made about everything's looking Ravens here. They've got, look at this, Scotty Case is going to be our quarterback for the next decade, and Justin Armour is the wide receiver we've been looking for, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so, anyway, great that those two connected on a play. The Ravens then went on to lose three straight games. Stoney Case was gone at the end of that period. He went 2-2 as a quarterback, and honestly, the record was a lie. It was nowhere near that good. Frankly, he's the worst backup quarterback, frankly, the Ravens have ever had, and that's really saying something. Career passer rating was right around 50, to give you an idea. I think he had 4 touchdowns and 15 interceptions in his career. So the 2-0 he had this day was most of his career right there.
And I think you can sum up Stoney Case's career by, if you go on YouTube and search Stoney Case's career highlights, the video lasts 2 minutes and 17 seconds.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, good to know.
He's most famously was done after the game, the Thursday night game they played against Kansas City, where they lost 35-8. That was his last game as a starter, and the Ravens got completely trashed in a game that would have been something really terrific. They've been able to win it. I go between blaming Mitchell and Case for putting the Ravens out of contention in 99, but maybe Billick deserves a share as well for not giving the ball to Tony Banks. Tony Banks was really terrific in the second half of 1999. That didn't last until 2000, and you know but he was really terrific down the stretch in 1999.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Banks always had a cannon for an arm. He could put the football anywhere. It was just that he just never seemed to really grasp the mental side of the game and understanding what defenses were trying to do and knowing where to go with the football when. It just, you know, eluded him. But physically, he was gifted. He had an arm talent.
He's gifted in some ways. He was a fumble waiting to happen and really had zero pocket presence to go with that. So if you don't know where the defenders are, you can't even figure out what's happening on your blind side. Like, you know, we see Lamar do very well. So many blindside fumbles. Anytime he took a blindside sack, it was pretty much fumble. I think his hands might have been a little small in addition to, which was part of the problem. So anyway, whatever the case, obviously Tony Banks had some troubles, and you know, one of the things, and it's kind of a shame, is Tony Banks really isn't part of any celebrations they have about the Ravens 2000 team. And for whatever you believe about the guy, he did some positive things for the team in 2000. He managed some games early on in that year. He certainly brought him back in the game against Jacksonville to get the win. And it's just kind of a shame that he's not remembered more positively. And in 1999, frankly, if they'd have gone to him a few games earlier, I think the Ravens probably would have made the playoffs.
Yeah, well, definitely would have been an interesting maybe change in the course of history there, because that offense, you know, came alive for, you know, about 6-7 weeks there in the second half with Banks at the helm, and you started to get a glimpse of what Billick wanted to do. But you know, I that's one of those great what ifs too with Brian Billick's tenure. If ever he could have gotten that legitimate franchise quarterback, what could his offense have looked like here in Baltimore? But it wasn't to be. But we still did have some great moments with him.
Would have been fun. It's for another episode to say what Billick and Jackson could have done together potentially. But Jamie, really appreciate having you on. This is always a great trip down memory lane to have these things. We went down a few extra rabbit holes on this one, went a little long, but that's okay. Tell folks where they can find your stuff online.
Well, I do some contributing and podcasting at BaltimoreSportsAndLife.com. Great message board. Discuss everything Baltimore sports and, you know, throughout the other leagues, Maryland Terps, anything else that interests you. And I am on Twitter at PrimeTime667083.
667083. Okay, I can put those numbers together.
Yeah, I think you could.
Much appreciated, Jamie. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a That One Play podcast, love to have you. There's still time, and it's going to go on, I think, pretty much the whole season, whole offseason, I should say, since we've had a lot of interest in this topic. Still tons of great plays in Ravens history to pick from. Just suggest one. There's a pretty good chance it hasn't been taken. If you have three or four in your pocket, that's all the better. Hit me up with a DM on Twitter. Always open. I promise I'll get back to you very quickly, and we'll get a quick recording if you're ready to go. Jamie, thanks again for coming on.
Appreciate it, Ken. Always a pleasure.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.